How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing, Ewan? You all right?
Not too bad. Let's not talk about Celtic versus Hearts.
Okay, well, I'm sure we will later on. We'll talk about Hibs versus Rangers and all the other matches. And thank you for joining us. Thanks for the comments on last week's show as well. And thank you to Ailey Barber. Episodes out, remember, every single Monday at 3 o'clock. We'll look back at all the weekend's SPFL action. We'll also check in if Scottish football were a fruit and veg. And we'll settle the one for next week as well. Some of them are brilliant. That have come in. And remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers, on Twitter as well via Big Football Scotland, and we're on Instagram, Facebook. Just search the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get to today's special guest. And we put something up on Twitter last night, as we tend to do on a Sunday night, and it was wrong answers only. Some of them were the following.
If I didn't know who was coming in, with the picture we put up, I would have thought it was me in my younger days.
Really?
Well, he's got the same fashion sense as me.
That's a terrible thing to say. Terrible thing to say. Look, he's crying already. What are you doing to him?
You can't say anything. We haven't introduced you yet, so shut up.
So, some of the wrong answers were Peter Andre.
I can see. Oh, yes, possibly.
Anne Budge. Susan Boyle. Liz Truss. The guy from Timpsons who laced Stephen Mill's shoes last week. Michelle Moan was in there as well. None of these are the correct answers. We are joined, of course, by former Celtic, Dundee United, and of course, Dumbarton player and current Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundit, Mark Wilson.
How you doing, Mark? Thanks. Thanks, guys. What an intro. You know what? It was going so well when you started Peter Andre there.
I know.
And then went rapidly downhill.
Out of all of those, would Peter Andre be your pick?
I think, between Anne Budge, Liz Truss, and Peter Andre, I'm going to go for Andre.
Have you got a six pack?
Well,
did you have
six pack or something else?
Did you have a six pack back in the day?
Certainly not.
Never?
No.
Really?
I was never one of the guys that spent hours in the gym just doing sit-ups repeatedly.
No.
See, before we get to arguing about Rangers versus Hibs and Celtic versus Hearts because of the refereeing performances, I'm sorry to do this to you, Mark, but Mark Wilson sent me a text message last week.
What did he?
Aye. Can I read it out? Do you mind, Mark, if I read it out?
Fire away.
Yeah. You sent me a text message. Hey, mate, I'm buzzing that intern Callum asked me to be on the podcast. When I was playing for them, I listened to you on the Real Radio Football phone-in and I loved it.
The Real Radio Football phone-in, I used to do that show back in the day.
Ewan, you are simply the best. And I was gutted when you decided to leave. However, that's in the past and you're back, so I can't wait to come up to your place and live it up with you and Stephen on the show. It will feel like heaven is actually a place on earth. Anyway, brother, all the best. And I will continue to follow your career with great enthusiasm.
So,
thanks, Mark.
I feel I need to come in here. I need to avoid and sit down because my Twitter will light up and people wanting to kill me if they think that's me.
That's
mate, that certainly
mate,
wasn't
I'm
me.
I'm going to put a screen grab of this up.
Please don't. Please don't.
I did say, Mark, you know, expect unexpected when it comes to this podcast. So there we go.
Look at your face.
By the way, that must have taken you a while to compose. That was pretty clever.
That's Ewan's crowning achievement, to be honest with you. Look how happy he is.
He is. He's well chuffed, isn't he? Sitting in the corner with his wee Liverpool hat on.
Hey, I was at Anfield 2 weeks ago. That's what you tell everybody.
How much did you pay for that? You must have paid about 25 quid for that.
£17.99.
I've seen you coming,
it was on sale.
Why do you always wear a hat, Ewan? Are you bald?
No, I'm not bald. I just like wearing a hat because it makes me look cool.
Take your hat off then. Sure.
I'll take my hat off.
That's a good point. I've never seen you without a hat. I didn't expect your head to look like that.
Should I put your hat back on?
I don't know what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I don't know, because I've never seen it.
A big afro or something like that.
Just ping! As soon as the hat gets taken off.
Keep it on, mate.
Keep it on. That's amazing. Right, okay, keep the hat on. Right, we're going to do something a wee bit different this week, because usually we just rattle through all the scores, all the big talking points and that. We'll get to the talking points in just a wee second. But while you're on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Mark, on a Saturday, we are on the big Saturday football show on a Saturday, myself and Ewan, and one of our pundits is Steve Cowan, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker. And what we do with him is we give him a one-word review after all the fixtures are completed, all the results have come in, right? So he has to describe each of the scores with one word.
And one word only.
And one word only. So
we're going to rattle through the scores.
Okay.
And you need to describe that game with one word.
All right, okay, yeah.
And no repeats. Okay.
Fine.
One word review.
Right.
Okay. So let's start off. Let's work in reverse order. So
pick out some highlights from the lower leagues. Let's not go through them all.
No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a wee second. So let's start Saturday lunchtime. Hibs 2, Rangers 2. One word, Mark Wilson.
Controversial.
Dundee United 0, St Mirren 3.
Shocking.
Motherwell 1, Livingston 0.
Unsurprising.
What?
Really?
Aye. Why?
What?
Did you not think Livingston have been
on a roll?
But listen, you're a high. Hold on a minute. You hate Livy.
Right, that's what you're saying. But that's not the point.
Motherwell's got a new manager. The club's in a good place just now. So I thought they'd win.
If I was Super Scoreboard, I'd be looking at your contract.
By the way, just on it, am I allowed to be on here? Are we rivals or are we part of the same team? Or?
We are. We're part all in the same team. Need, yeah. Because you can find.
Ask permission for Gordon Duncan.
Gordon Duncan. Yeah.
Does he not know you're here?
I don't think so.
You're in the show. <right?
laughs> well, good luck with that. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0.
Oh, boring.
It was a good game. Did you watch it?
Exciting ending.
Aye.
It was end-to-end.
It's always boring up there.
Oh,
and
wow.
You never get an absolute classic, do
was,
you?
Was that one of the journeys? Even though the Ross County and Inverness players need to make up twice, you know, every couple of weeks, did you hate going up there?
Not really. We used to fly. So
you flew?
It's only a 20-minute flight.
Really?
How the other side live, eh?
It was easy. The hardest bit was chaining through the airport. That was a bit of a drag.
Greta Thunberg will not be happy with that. St Johnston 0, Aberdeen 1.
Needed.
And of course.
It was. I'll give you that one.
Let's go to the Hearts game yesterday. What was the final score there? Yeah.
It was 2-0, but we played our B team.
2-0, Celtic 2, Hearts 0.
Routine.
Routine.
Actually, I thought Celtic would have won more comfortably. You struggled for much of that game.
Well, where was the struggle?
You were struggling.
What do you mean struggling?
You were 1-0 up.
1-0 up. Where was the struggle?
You've asked me a question, let me answer. Right, you were 1-0 up early doors. And you struggled for the rest of the game against a B team. You did. And then you had Kevin Clancy step in to help you out, right? Oh, he did.
Oh, come on.
He certainly did. Don't you sit there and
right.
tell me,
no,
didn't
no, no,
he? Because all I ever hear is, they're against us. No, they're no.
Right, we'll get to that in just 3 seconds, because we've still got to go through the Championship in League 1 and League 2. So, Cove Rangers 1, Ayr United 2.
Surprising.
You've already said that.
Have I? Oh, well, you didn't say I couldn't.
No,
we did.
Did you?
Is it? No, you've not said surprising.
I didn't say surprising.
No, you've not said surprising. So
I need to think up a mere words here.
Exactly.
I'm running out of words.
See, this is the good thing. Because it's fine when you're in the Premiership and you know what you're talking about. But wait till we get to League 2. Arbroath 1, Queen's Park 2.
Unsurprising.
Right. Hamilton 0, Raith Rovers 2.
Come on.
Bear in mind, you only need to know 21 words for this.
At the moment, I've got 8.
It's quite difficult. Oh, I'm stuck.
Hamilton 0, Raith Rovers 2. Come on. Anything.
Amazing.
Right. Amazing. Greenock Morton 0, Dundee 0.
That was shocking.
No, you said shocking.
When did I say shocking?
You said shocking for Dundee United St.
Mary. Jarring.
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 A jarring draw. Okay, right. And then the Friday night game, it was Partick Thistle 4, Inverness 1.
Unanticipated.
Great. I knew this would be good. Right, so you're more than halfway through, Mark. You've got 10 words to find.
He's got a sweat on.
He's got a proper sweat on. Look at him.
All you need is 10 more words, right, and that's it. Right, League 1, Airdrie 2, Alloa 0.
Jaw drop. That's two words.
That's two words.
But it's got a hyphen in it.
It's got a hyphen. We'll give you that one. I'll give you that
okay,
one.
Okay, right. Hyphenated. We'll give you that. Right. FC Edinburgh nil, Falkirk 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that was unforeseen.
Unforeseen. Kelty Hearts nil, Dunfermline nil.
Unspectacular.
Okay.
Are you just finding words and putting un in front of it?
Okay. I should have a list of the ones that I've said so I can just sup in on.
Yeah. Montrose 2, Clyde 1.
Awesome.
Awesome. Why is
I'm
it awesome?
I'm Montrose man, mate.
Montrose man.
I do like Montrose.
Like Stuart Petrie fan.
He's part of the world.
Peterhead 1, Queen of the South 4.
Miraculous. That was.
Miraculous. To be fair, Peterhead took the lead in that one.
I know,
as well.
I've seen that for the second week in a row.
Right, we're on to our final five words, Mark Wilson. Jeez. League 2.
Am I allowed to swear in this?
You can do what you like.
Ah, you can do what you want. Annan 1, Stirling Albion 2.
Staggering.
Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Albion Rovers 2.
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. That was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why was that phenomenal?
Because Albion Rovers are. Albion Rovers.
Bonnyrigg hadn't lost the game.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's why it was phenomenal. Thanks, Stephen.
East 5 1, 4 4 0.
Read that again.
East 5 1, 4 4 0.
That was. flabbergasted. Well, East Fife have been struggling in recent times.
You're on your final two words. We know so far Mark Wilson knows 19 words. Can he complete the 21 though? Right. Elgin City 2, Stranraer 2.
Ooh. Rare to get a 2-2 up there.
And finally, your old team, Stenhouse Muir 1, Dumbarton 3.
Marvellous.
The yes. Marvellous Mark Wilson.
Well done, Mark. Got there in the
you
end.
Know 21 words.
That was difficult.
You were stressed, weren't you?
That's a good game. Do you do that every week?
We do that every single week. Yeah. I've had to buy Steve Cowan a thesaurus, though, so because otherwise he was struggling. So, listen, thank you very much. Right, let's go back to the main talking points then. Obviously, red cards. You turned my notifications into a bin fire on Twitter. last night by that stupid tweet that you put out.
There was nothing stupid about it.
I think
there wasn't anything stupid about it. Let's get Mark Wilson's take on it. Let's start with the first game of the day.
Okay.
Hibs versus Rangers at Easter Road, right? Finished 2-2. Rangers down to 9 men. Let's go through it in chronological order. Was Cholak a penalty?
No.
Was Rocky Bashiri a penalty when he gets challenged by Tavernier in the Rangers box?
No.
Was Lundstrom's challenge, but the Doyle Hayes challenge on Lundstrom a red card?
No.
Was Lundstrom's challenge on Boyle a red card?
No.
So we agree. Moving on.
No, because you also said that Morelos could be that. Could
oh, Morelos, Morelos as well. Sorry, was that a red card?
Oh, as big a red card as you'll ever see. So
that's a red card.
Red card.
Right. Okay.
Audio.
Lundstrom. Right.
Lundstrom was.
It gets a red card. Willie Collum was as quick as I've ever seen him pull out a red card in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, even before Lundstrom's turned round to face him, the red card's already out and he's thrown in his face. That is a disgraceful decision.
Well, I would agree. See, 5 minutes before it, Hugh Keevans, who's often wrong, you've got to say.
He is often wrong.
Said, Willie Collum is twitching to get a red card out here. And lo and behold, mm-hmm. I mean, it happened. It's one of the worst decisions that you'll see. Because see, if you're a professional footballer and you're tackling like that and you're getting a red card, then forget about it. Forget
the game's
tackling.
Done.
Aye.
The thing is with Willie Collum, sometimes, like I was talking to this, I was talking to Dan, our producer today, a wee bit earlier on, and I think it was the final Celtic Rangers game of last season, the one that finished the draw at Parkhead. Willie Collum was the referee, and I remember saying to Dan, because we watched it together, I was like, Willie Collum's had a really decent game. But then sometimes there's been a column and he just has an absolute nightmare.
He just goes off on one, doesn't
he? Just absolutely goes off on one. But to slightly defend Willie Collum here.
There is no defence.
From his angle.
No, there isn't.
From where he was on the pitch.
Rubbish.
Lundstrom comes in high.
Rubbish.
It looks like he might have scraped down
rubbish.
The back
Stephen,
of his Achilles.
He's nah. 4 yards away.
There's
See
no way.
If our refs can't get decisions 4 yards away, then we're
and
in trouble.
And I think, sorry, Ewan, if there was VAR like there was in the Manchester City Newcastle game yesterday,
yeah.
Willie Collum goes across the screen and he's like, actually, no, I've got that wrong.
I'm telling you right now, if Willie Collum goes across to the screen, he still says it's a red card.
Is that because Willie Collum's biased against Rangers?
It's not because of that reason.
So why is it then?
Because Willie Collum likes the headlines.
I think that's totally nonsense.
Willie Collum's about Willie Collum at the end of the day. I think he's one of those individuals who makes a decision and he sticks by it. He stands by it and he'll defend it to the hilt.
Even if he's got VAR, even though he's probably a referee who's used VAR in Europe.
I think that he believed at the time it was a right decision. And yep. I think if he looked at VAR, I'm not sure that he would change his mind. I really don't. I think he's one of those referees that believes in his first decision. And that's it. Have you ever heard him come out and say I got it wrong?
So you think when VAR's introduced after the World Cup, Willie Collum will never change his mind?
Well, no referee.
So that's what you're saying. You're saying Willie Collum will never change his mind.
What I'm saying is that Willie Collum over the years has made some horrendous decisions,
of
right?
Of course he has,
And what I'm saying is this, right?
Yeah.
If Willie Collum makes that decision, which he did, he then gets told to go and have a look at the screen of the VAR, I still think he stands by his decision.
So
I don't think Willie Collum said he's ever wrong.
So therefore, going forward, when we will have VAR in the Scottish Premiership after the World Cup, if Willie Collum makes a high profile error like he did on Saturday, and he goes across to the screen and he's like, no, actually I got that wrong, he'll go, but I've already made my decision, that's it. You think that's what's happening?
9 times out of 10 I think that's what'll happen.
Right, so 9 times out of 10, not 10 times out of 10, like what you just said.
10 times out of 10.
Right, okay.
Listen, Willie Collum, at any point has he come out and says, I've got that wrong?
Well,
that's the argument I was making right on Saturday, that everybody in football is accountable and has to speak up at some point. Chairman, board members, managers, coaches, young players coming through, they all get the chance to explain why they had a bad game, why their club's not running right, why the manager picked that tactics, and they all have to do it. Apart from this select group of referees who have probably the most influence in a 90 minutes and they never come out and explain it.
Why do referees not do that, Ewan?
I don't know, but they do in down south. The PGOMOL? Is it?
<What's that? laughs> Never Sounds try like acronyms again.
They follow up to YNCA.
You've made a right
that,
so.
they would come out on a Monday morning and they will explain certain decisions in a statement on their website, and that's what happens on a regular basis. I don't think we have that here in Scotland, where referees are held accountable, or they'll come out and put their hand up and go, I got that wrong, or they'll phone up a manager and they'll make an apology and it's made public.
Yeah.
We got that wrong, we must do better type thing. I think they've got that system in place down south. They don't have it here in Scotland. And I think that Willie Collum does have a decent game in him, but generally speaking, I don't think he's a very good referee. I think he's pretty poor overall. And the lack of consistency in that game on Saturday was embarrassing, because the Doyle-Hayes challenge on Lundstrom, if you were going to say which one is more likely to be a red in his mindset, then it's a challenge on Lundstrom.
So,
I mean, he's coming to the side.
Yeah.
He's flying in with a leg high.
So why is he not sent off Doyle Hayes then?
As I'm saying, the lack of consistency.
I know, but why? Why is he not sent off Doyle Hayes, and why is he sent off Lundstrom?
The old early in the game one.
You think?
First half. As the game was wearing on, the atmosphere was building. Hugh says he was twitching. You can almost see when the atmosphere gets on top of him.
Why was Hugh thinking this was about to happen? What was going
on
in the game?
At the start of the show,
he's a wise old man.
I know. The start of the show, though, Daz to the left of me said that, I hope we're not talking about the ref. And that was at the moment we saw Willie Collum was refing the game. Now, a big game like that, when the atmosphere gets on top of Willie, I think it does affect him. Listen, I played in a game, a Celtic Rangers game, if you remember. Willie Collum gave a penalty at Celtic Park that he didn't even see. He was looking the other way. And
was it? He heard the contact.
He heard the contact. over 60,000 people, and we are saying there's no way you could have seen that.
Like you turned into a Londoner there as well. There's no way, Willie. I can't believe you've given a penalty.
Willie, you can't be serious, Willie.
Come on,
you
monk.
You're having a laugh, mate.
I mean, he's not a great referee, and I think obviously when that goes to appeal, Lundstrom will win his appeal easily. I'm surprised they'll come out this morning and went, "Hey, Lundstrom, you're free, you're fine, you're not going to have two-game suspension." But I don't know why Willie was so keen to get that red card out. Had there been things going on between Lundstrom and Colin throughout the game? Was he annoyed, pissed off, angry? And then you just go,
You can't explain what's in his head. Even see for the penalty. Sky kept showing the footage from behind the goal to highlight Willie Colum's view of the penalty.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that he could have seen through two or three players to give that.
He maybe heard it.
He was like a bat.
Honestly, he's got sonar more than anything. Right, you were playing Mark. Was there referees who you just thought, oh no,
no,
it's
him
the day?
Hi.
Willie Colum. Well,
by the way, I've got a history. Willie Colum was at my school and he refereed my school games. Because that was when he was going through his refereeing.
Right, okay.
And he was equally as controversial back then. Most of the refs were all right when I was playing. You know, most of them you could speak to. The thing I get now when I look at players, that they can't really have a conversation with referees now. They're told to go away, like school kids. You know, get away from me. It's not a way to
Let's wrap this up because I'm bored of refereeing chat. Somebody needs to stick up for the referees.
You know the argument always is though when you say something like that is, we've got no other younger referees. You've had so long, you know, to prepare, get these younger
referees.
Would
you be a referee?
No.
Would you not do it?
Be a referee? Are you joking? We just spent 15 minutes annihilating one.
Why would you want to
see when you're a player, you've got 10 other guys that get annihilated as well and takes a heat. See when you're the ref, you just get it on your plate.
And
why
got,
anyone
you've
would
got
like that?
People like you annihilating referees all the time. Why would you want to be a referee?
But they get paid good money. I'd date for the money.
I'll tell you what, we'll send you on a course. We'll send you on a referee course.
I'll tell you a wee story here and now. So I used to annihilate the referees when I used to do the football phoning, right?
On real radio.
And at the time, the referees were the likes of Hugh Dallas, were around at that time in the noughties. So I was giving the referees absolute pelters week in and week out for some massive decisions. And Hugh Dallas phoned up the show and he goes, "All right, Ewan, I'm going to put you in the middle and you're going to be a referee at a football match." Do you know where they sent me? They sent me to Bar Linney. Mm-hmm. And I had to play the Celtic, I had to referee the Celtic and Rangers fans on Bar Linney.
And how'd you get on?
Not great. I had Hugh Dallas run the line for me and what's his name? The bigger referee from back in the day.
Willie Young,
he ran the line for me as well. I've never been so scared in all my life. See the abuse that I got. Actually, do you know what, Willie? You're doing a fine job, mate.
Exactly.
Do you know what? I'm sorry for everything that we said on the show this morning.
Right, let's move on to another team who had a nightmare at the weekend, and that's your former side, Mark. Dundee United, 3-0 at home to St Mirren. They've conceded 14 goals without reply in their last three games. We were talking about this on Saturday as well. All of a sudden, Jack Ross is under probably a wee bit of pressure.
You think so? I'm actually gutted Calm's not in here today.
Yeah, because intern Calm, who usually does the show, he was actually running a marathon at the weekend. Did you hear how he got on? he did the half marathon.
Yes. He'd been out the night before.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure we'll absolutely roast him for that next week. He was over in Holland for the AZ Alkmaar game, and then obviously it was 4-0 against Hearts last Sunday, and then 3-0 on Saturday. What are they doing?
God knows. I mean, for instance, Callum a couple of weeks ago was on such a high after that AZ home game, and he went full out optimism away, and then he's came back and he's just a broken man now.
He is, can't even run a marathon.
Same with the rest of them. I don't know. On Saturday, I thought Dundee United were a certainty. See, when the teams were read out and you seen the five across the middle for Dundee United, and who was up front, Stephen Fletcher, you looked at Levitt and McGrath and Tony Watt and all that experience, you just thought they run over the top of St Mirren, but they look a bit disjointed. They look a bit kind of individuals.
See, when you're on a run like that, or a run like this, like Dundee United are on, how difficult is it as a player just to, like, how do you get yourself out of that? Is it just a break? Is it just, what is it?
Well, did we hear that there was a clear the air dressing room talks last week with him?
Well,
now,
listen,
I was never a fan of them.
You should know, right? Because you must have your finger in many pies, right? Loads of pies, because you will have pals, surely, in the dressing rooms across Scotland. You must be hearing something at the Dundee United dressing room. You must know Stevie Fletcher and people like that.
No, I don't Charlie know Stevie Fletcher. Charlie, I know Charlie.
Charlie, you know Tony Watt, possibly?
Aye. Charlie and
I mean,
Tony,
I've played Call of Duty with Tony Watt, but I've not asked him about the dressing room situation. Right?
Yeah, hold on, that's more interesting. You've played Call of Duty with Tony Watt?
Yes.
You play Call of Duty?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
He plays FIFA in that as well. What
age am I? What's that going to do with anything?
You've got kids, haven't you?
I've got three.
What are the kids doing when you're playing your Xbox or PlayStation?
They're sitting upstairs to the room to leave me in peace.
That's strange.
Weird. Would you describe yourself as a gamer?
What's your missus then?
I'm 100% a gamer. That's why I've got a VIP subscription with lovehoney.co.uk. I'm doing the stairs, the lights up the stairs. No, I'm a gamer. A gamer. I play FIFA all the time, and I play Call of Duty and stuff like that, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. Last time I played that was 1996 on the PS1.
So
Tony Watt,
right?
He's a gamer. I'm a gamer. But you know Tony Watt.
Aye.
Why do you not ask him what's going on at Dundee United?
Do you want me to phone him just now and see?
Well, I actually messaged him at the weekend there to see if he would come on the phone. He's no reply back to me.
Well, get him through the Xbox. That's your best bet.
What do you do?
The phone?
Pokemon or something like that on the Xbox.
No, we play
it's
Pokemon.
A different game.
Yeah. You were talking about the clear the air chats there.
Aye.
So how many clear the air chats did you have during your career and from whom?
I had a few. Mainly, by the way, at my old club, Dundee United.
Yeah.
Because see, at that time we were... pish. So to put it right. I was trying to think of a better word there, but I used all my words in that game.
Exactly. So who were your managers then?
So started Paul Sturrock.
Yep.
Then he quickly left, went to Alex Smith. Then we had like a mixture of Paul Hegarty. Then Ian McCall came in, transformed things. Gordon Chisholm, and then I was away.
Right.
The day Craig Brewster came in, but a lot of that period, I think, only had maybe. Honestly, one good season. Dundee United finished top six and we got to Scottish Cup final. Relegation battles. So we had plenty of kind of
Clear the air chats.
But
why didn't you like them?
Because I thought, what are we getting for this?
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit comfortdental.com today.
So the one I hear at Dundee United was the manager wasn't involved. You know, it was the players. And
right.
I've been sitting in that as well. And you're basically sitting, right, this is serious now. Often the captain leading it or some of the senior pros. I was younger at United, so I'm just sitting there thinking, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how's this going to make us better? Right, we need to be better. A lot gets said that the players already know.
Yes.
They already know they need to get better. The manager said that, you know, they hear it through the fans and whatever else they read.
So it's a waste of time, that's what you're saying?
I felt it was. Then you go and you charge a bit in the training pitch, right, for 10 minutes and you're all feeling great. Then you go and get pumped at the weekend again. And you think, it was a waste of time.
So when you're having like a clear air chat and it's just the players, are you just like, right, well, we've been a bit pish, lads, so could we stop being shite, basically?
Pretty much, that's it. And I was always curious how you wrap up the meeting. You know, how do, because usually the manager, when he's giving his team talk, the way the meeting's wrapped up is when he storms off and shuts the door and then everybody gets up.
Yeah.
But when it's a bunch of players doing it, you're going, right, when's this finish? Are we finished?
Can I get him now?
Can I start chatting on the Xbox again? I don't know. But I don't know if they're really... Well, I didn't watch it at the weekend.
There was a lot of chat on Twitter after that defeat to St Mirren. The chat was, is that Jack Ross has already, and I hate this expression, but he's lost the dressing room already.
No.
That's the chat. I mean, you've conceded 14 goals in three games. They're playing poorly as well. Is this the players downing tools?
No.
So you
way.
Don't think there's
no
anything
way.
Like that going on?
You know what?
Then you're saying no then. Let me ask you this. Are you telling me at no point in a footballer's career were they down tools because they don't like the manager?
No, I wouldn't say that.
It does happen. Right. Did it happen in your career?
Down tools.
Did it happen in your career?
I'd say we went through a period where the dressing room wasn't right at Celtic under Tony Mowbray. Remember those days?
Yes. Did you down tools?
Well,
or did you
define down tools?
As in, you would only give 80%?
Yes. No, just probably that lack of inspiration. That's the best way of putting it.
So you're not feeling it.
No, and the proof is in the pudding. We got pumped 4-0 off St Mirren, right? I was part of that. I was probably close to goals. Don't know why I'm laughing at that, but it's not that funny. And then Tony left. Tony had a clear the air meeting, by the way. I don't know if I've told this one. Tony had a clear the air meeting the following Monday, right? Was that a midweek game? It was a midweek game, actually. The next day, sign up in the dressing room door at Lennox Town, meeting, 11 o'clock. Now, we're all thinking... Tony's away. That's that. He's gone. He's gone.
Yes, anyway, we've got what we wanted.
You dancer. No, I'm joking. If Tony's listening, we go in the dressing room at Lennox Town. We have the meeting, and Tony comes in. We're staying. We're fighting. We're going to turn this round. But honestly, by the time I got in my car and drove to Lennox Town to my home in Cumbernauld, switch on Sky Sports News, and Tony was sacked. No joke. Peter Walwell was on the way into Lennox Town. We're on the way out. That's how quickly it happened. Right. Neil Lennon then comes in, and the turnaround. Just because Neil came in, just with this passion that you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
That comes with Neil Lennon.
He's a winner.
He's a winner. And the players that were maybe just slacking and thinking this is a payday for us, all of a sudden realised we need to win. And that the change was that quickly. I don't think that's the case with Jack Ross.
Right, so when you're a player, subconsciously, you are got in the mindset... You don't fancy this manager. He's not the one to take you where you need to be. That you kind of drop off.
No, I don't think you drop off. Your performance levels drop off. Listen,
because you're not
like
believing in the message.
It's like any profession. If you're on your radio show and you're thinking your boss doesn't know what they're doing and you're not really up for it, you come in. It's a bit half-hearted. Well, actually, is your boss not up for it? Because I've been listening.
No, she's brilliant. I mean,
well,
she's a winner.
Why is your show flat and?
No, see, our boss is a winner,
so,
and she's up for it.
There you go. So come in and you're buzzing.
You'd run through a brick wall for her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aye. So.
So that's the same when it comes to football. Tony Mowbray wasn't having you running through brick walls. You would rather
probably
rather be bouncing on a bouncy castle. That's what you're saying. The difference.
Don't quote me on that. But I was a difficult time. Right.
Difficult
so,
time.
And the dressing room is difficult, but when you're getting result after result, like United are just now, it's a hard place to get out of.
See, when you signed for Celtic, obviously, I'm guessing you grew up a Celtic fan, is that correct? Yeah.
Didn't he?
By the way, he said this to me, right?
Yeah.
At the golf a few weeks ago. I said, aye, were you really? And he kept asking me, were you really?
Do you know what is? It's because when Ewan says he's a Hearts fan, everyone goes,
are you really?
I know. So it's called projection.
No,
I think that's what it is.
It's because you started your career at Dundee United. I didn't know what the history was.
How did you end up? Because you're from, you know, West Coast. So how did you end up at Dundee United?
So, just like any kid, I'm 10 minutes along the road from Celtic Park. Now, I had an opportunity to sign for Celtic, but Celtic had all the superstar kids at the time. United had a brilliant kind of youth production, for youth team to reserves to first team pretty early. And a guy here, Graham Livingston, brilliant scout, involved with like Billy McKinley and Duncan Ferguson and all the greats that United had and sold on. So I was sold in that. So I moved when I was 16.
So even though you were a Celtic supporter, you thought the best thing for my career is to go to Dundee United.
Yep. And at that time, I had offers from Man City and Blackburn as well, with vast amounts of money, more than I was getting paid at United as an apprentice, but I chose to go there. That worked out all right.
I was going to say, do you think if more people, because I think, you know, like, a lot of the times I remember when I was playing like boys club football and there was boys, oh, he's training with Celtic, he's training with Rangers and all the rest there. None of these boys ever made it. None of them made it. So if there's any parents listening who have young guys or girls who are getting involved in football, your advice would be don't go to Celtic or Rangers unless you're absolutely exceptional.
Well, don't. It's not a message, don't go there. But a lot of them are there because they love the tracksuit and they love the parents love saying exactly what you said there, that, oh, my kid plays for Celtic.
Yeah.
And you can quite clearly see the kid's not going to make it Celtic. To make it Celtic coming through the youth system and Rangers, you have to be exceptional. And you're never exceptional, or very little is are exceptional at a young age. Mm-hmm. You look at the guys I grew up with and the guys that made the Scotland team regularly, weren't they great when they were younger? They were slow builders. So by the time you get to 18, 19, 20, and you're starting to actually play real football, that's when you start progressing. And I thought my best opportunity was to play 120 games or whatever before I went to a big club like Celtic, and it worked.
So when did you get good?
Because I go at your radio show there.
Are we still waiting for that day?
That day is long gone, mate.
What, did you ever have it?
Did I ever have it?
Aye.
Well, I played against some of probably two of the best players ever. So
who was that?
Ronaldo and Messi. So
were you up against them? Were they on your side?
Ronaldo, aye, a couple of times. Messi wandered over. Ronaldinho, aye. I was up against him in the Nou Camp for 90 minutes.
How was that?
A laugh. by the way, see, but I hadn't even trained. I was over in America, seen a surgeon for my knee.
Your knees are knackered, aren't they?
But Andy Hinkle was cup tied because he had just signed, and Gordon phoned and said, you need to fly back to be part of squad. I flew back and had no idea I was starting in the Nou Camp. Thought I was there for a holiday. You know, you're training the day before in the Nou Camp. That was the best bit, by the way. See, training the day before, and you're going, that's amazing. And then he names a team, and I'm like, oh shit. Oh, no. And they scored after 2 minutes. Well, my side, I said, it's going to be a long night. But what an experience.
So your best performance against one of those three top players, what was your best performance? Ronaldo, Messi, Ronaldinho?
Ronaldo, probably at home. Home, we drew one each with him.
Did you have a few challenges, and were you in his face?
Great. Just, it was brilliant to be up against these guys. But me and Sean Maloney were on. I was playing left back as well. See, wasn't even playing my strongest position.
And I had left my back pocket. That night.
I was playing left back.
And you had Ronaldo in your pocket.
Oh God, easy. I thought this kid's going nowhere.
What's he ever done?
What a night.
What was it, one that night?
One, they scored a late equaliser.
Yeah. Oh, that one who's at Man United?
Aye.
Ah, yeah, I remember that night. I think I was there that night, actually.
Yeah, radio. So, listen, we'll delve more into your career in just a wee second. I just want to round off the football, because we can't miss the chance to go over that Celtic versus Hearts game yesterday. And, of course,
we're not talking about that.
So, Mark, you were saying earlier on, very, very straightforward victory for Celtic in the end. Obviously, the two sendings off. Ewan, what did you think of that?
Kevin Clancy.
He's another one. Is it time for Kevin Clancy to retire?
No. What I will say is the Cochran two yellow cards, you could maybe argue they were both yellow cards. Especially the first one, yeah. The second one, you're thinking, oh, really? Just let him off. It's fine.
You can't just do that. You can't have it both ways.
It's 89 minutes. He's assaulted him. We'll just let him off.
No, he's never assaulted him. But have you seen that?
Then?
The Cochrane one, I thought, you know, it's just frustration. It wasn't a yellow card for me. If I'm being honest, I didn't think the Cochrane second one was a yellow card. First one, yes. The Sibic one, though, the wee push, I mean, he was on the halfway line. He wasn't going anywhere. There was cover. He didn't have to give him the yellow card in the 94th minute and send him off. He didn't. I mean, you look at the stats for that game, right? Hearts had 12 fouls, right? Five yellows and two reds. Celtic had 11 fouls, no cards.
That's absolutely irrelevant, because the fouls could be punching people in the face. Right. that's an irrelevant point.
Hold on a second, right? We've got boss man Dan here today, right? Yeah. Who's producing the show because intern Callum is off. He's a Celtic fan and he's raging at what I'm saying here. The stats are stats, right? Those didn't have to be red cards. He didn't have to give Cochrane a second yellow, and he didn't have to give Sibic a yellow card either. It wasn't a dirty game.
But the stats are irrelevant when it comes.
What I'm saying is, right, use your common sense. Look at what's going on in the game at that particular time.
Look at the fouls. That's what's important.
I don't think either of them were a second yellow. That's the point I'm getting at. If Abada is running in on goal and he gets a wee shove in his back and he falls over, that's a yellow, off you go. But there was cover, it was on the halfway line. It's not a yellow card, I'm sorry. It's not. Use your common sense. And Cochrane isn't a yellow card either. That's a wee bit of frustration in the corner flag.
Right, that's fine.
Don't be laughing at me. See Dan. No. Dan's doing nothing because he's like screwing his face up at me and pointing fingers at me.
So, no, but what you've said there, that's totally reasonable. Right. When you start talking about, there was eight fouls given and four red cards. Like, that doesn't matter.
When did we go back to 1812?
I don't know. You, when you worked at Real Radio. But, you know, like, right. You have to take every foul. It doesn't matter how many fouls there are. If there are eight bad fouls, then that...
Mark, were those second yellow cards warranted?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you're going to say that because you're a Celtic fan.
It didn't matter in the context of the game. It was 89 minutes.
Okay, forget what time of the game it is. Right. Are you telling me the Cochrane challenge is the second one's a yellow?
It caught him at waist height.
No, he didn't.
It caught him at waist height. It's a yellow card. And the one with
Sibic is
stopping a promising attack.
Oh,
that's
shut
a yellow
up, okay.
card. I'm not coming back here.
You're telling me that, okay, are you telling me that little shove from Sibic was enough force in it for a bad to fall down the way he did? Was it, yes or no?
Must have been, he fell.
Okay.
No, it's not okay because I'm telling you right now, if that was Ryan Kent, he'd be saying, oh, there was never enough contact there for him to go down. But because it's Abada and it's Celtic, of course there was enough contact there for
I'm
him to go down.
No, you're not. It's my job to be impartial.
Oh, you talk amount of piss you do. Honest to God.
We'll move on to something that'll cheer you up. Here we go. That don't impress me. Right, all the rude tweets that you've been sending to Ewan over the past couple of weeks, probably my favourite part of what we do on the show. Hello to Tony Mack. Cameron is just that, and can you see that? What does that say there? The bottle of iron brew?
Fanny,
yeah, there you are. hello to Bladdered Plank, who says, I've thought and thought about it, and nope, I can't think of anything worse than listening to you and Cameron. Would rather listen to my mother-in-law, .. That's from Tony Mack. Baz says, do you practice being a FUD, or does it just come naturally to you?
It comes naturally.
What else have we got? Hello to Paul, who says, you did admit you would choose Rangers over Celtic, so you're in no way impartial. You and Cameron.
When I'm asked a question, I will be honest in my answer.
Okay.
If I was to choose between Rangers and Celtic, and I gave you the reason why I'd have chosen Rangers over Celtic, because Sandy Jardine moved from Rangers to Hearts in 1982, and Sandy Jardine was a very sought-after Panini sticker.
Right, okay, so you've said that.
That long-winded that. Totally.
Shut up, you.
It always is. So you've said that, so that's okay for you to be like that, and you can still be impartial, yeah?
I am impartial, though.
But you've just accused Mark of not being impartial
because
he supports Celtic.
But he's not.
But you just said that you prefer Rangers over Celtic.
But Celtic and Rangers fans have the blinkers on. I support Hibs when they're in Europe. I support Celtic when they're in Europe. I support Rangers when they're in Europe. See, I'm not blinkered like the vast majority of football fans in Scotland and people like Mark Wilson, who are very much blinkered.
Don't have a go at me because he's having a go at you.
Right, let me ask you this question then. Let's find out how...
We'll get to this in a second. We'll get to this in a second. I need to read out more rude tweets about you. hello to Alan. I prefer it when you talk about music, Ewan, something you have a little knowledge of at least. Hello to Stephen, who says you're a bitter, bitter man. Keep up the pretend heart support for your true love. And Mikey says you're a complete arse. So there you are. Right, so plenty of rude tweets. Keep them coming in as ever. It is at Big Scott. What's the Twitter handle? Wait a minute. What is it? I'll read it now. Keep them coming in at Big Football Scott. And you can also get us on Instagram and Facebook as well. We enjoy it when you slag you off. It's very, very good. Right, let's move on to something very quickly before we get to the quickfire Mark Wilson questions. So we have all of your suggestions for if Scottish football were fruit and veg. So you get to decide the winner here, Mark, all as right. the guest. So the best one doesn't win anything, just gets a shout out, basically. So hello to George Burns, who says, if Scottish football were fruit and veg, you could have Kiwi Sung Young.
Oh.
Right?
All that's
right.
good.
Brussels sprouts Latapy.
Yes.
I think it's quite good, yeah. Peter Paul Lettuce. No. Right, sorry, George, you're out. Finlay Cameron says, Cammy Bell Pepper.
Aye, that's
okay.
all right.
Okay, Finlay yeah. Cameron, yeah. Smiley Face says Ryan Jackfruit. You had a jackfruit before? Aye. Yeah.
What is a jackfruit?
I'm not stupid.
No, I said of jackfruit. No, I said of you had a jackfruit.
Okay. Wait.
Yeah. He says he's not stupid. Go and describe a jackfruit to us.
A jackfruit, small and very horrible.
they actually, they've got like a hard crust on them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Aye. Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. I know my jackfruits.
Yeah. Rocket Bushiri.
Nah.
Oh, no, I like Rocket Bushiri. That's quite good.
William 2502. Glenn Camaro.
Sorry.
Camaro.
Aye, that's quite good.
It's Tickle Mark.
If Scottish football were fruit and veg, they would obviously play at Sultana Dice.
Aye.
Yeah. Nope. Nope. Not having that from Brian Stalker. Yeah. Jay Gebb says Kevin Van Green Beans. Nope. Beck says Antonio Colic.
Yeah,
not bad. Lots of people saying Barry Banana.
Right, yes. So,
David says Brian Loudrop, the Grape Dane.
Oh, no.
No. Bailey says David Martin Kale, I think is very good. David Martin Kale.
Ah, that is good. Yeah.
What's a kale again?
It's like a green stuff. It's meant to be good for you. Thing, yeah. Lots of Joe Hartichokes as well, I think is quite good, including from Ross 1874. Andy Saladay.
Aye.
Andy Saladay would work as well. Mikael Arteta from Ross Sutherland as well. Broccoli McCulloch.
Yeah, that's good.
Jamie,
I like that one.
Charles Greengrocer. I think Charles Greengrocer has to be in there. And Davey, THFC, Neil Lemon goes straight in. Florian Cranberry. Cranberry?
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad. And John Plumstrom. Right, what are we going for?
I'm going for the last one.
John Plumstrom.
Is he came with three?
Yes, he's coming with three as well.
And the last one's the best one, John Plumstrom.
Neil Lemon, Florian Cranberry, and John Plumstrom. So well done, Davey. THFC, you're the winner, according to Mark Wilson. Next week, we want your suggestions for if Scottish football were a pub.
Okay? Were a pub?
So, for example, you could have Jim Goodwine, because you would want good wine in a pub,
would,
obviously.
Yeah.
Maker's Mark Wilson.
Aye, I like Maker's Mark.
Yeah, what's Maker's?
It's a rum, is it not?
Bourbon.
Is it a bourbon?
Oh, it's a bourbon.
Whiskey on the Gary Locks. No, we're not having that.
Whiskey on the Gary Locks.
Whiskey on the rocks.
Oh, right, okay.
Whiskey on the Gary Locks. Sorry.
Nah.
We've got a highbrow for you. Marco Negroni. Ryan Jack Daniels, straight in there as well. Glenn Morange Postecoglou, or Glenn Morange Postecoglou. Anyway, you can do better than that. It's at Big Football Scott for next week's episode, if Scottish football were a pub. So get your answers in there. Right, let's move on to the quick fire. Ewan Cameron for Mark Wilson, and intern Callum has told me to play this.
Wilson, where are you? Wilson!
Here we go, quick fire, right?
Okay.
Here we go. Celtic or Dundee United?
Celtic.
Are you more like the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, or the Cowardly Owl Lion?
Tin Man.
You got no heart.
No, I've got no knees. Can I move? Move like the Tin Man.
Yes! Very good.
Very good.
Footballer or pundit?
Footballer.
What colour is a mirror?
Whatever's behind it. Behind me.
Behind you?
What colour's a mirror?
What's that got to do with what's behind you?
What? Hold on a minute. What do you mean by that? What colour's a mirror?
What colour's a mirror?
Sure, when you're looking at it, it's what's behind me. Is that another colour?
Behind you?
Because I'm looking at the mirror.
Right. So it's
my reflection.
Right, so
but
if you're
right,
hold on a second. So if you're looking in your mirror right now, so imagine yourself in front of your mirror.
Right, okay.
What's the colour behind you?
Red.
Not in your house.
In my house?
Aye.
No, but what colour's the mirror?
It's clear. I don't know. Is that a colour? That's not a colour.
Right, move on.
That's a hard question, by the way.
Gordon Duncan or Gordon DL?
Oh, Gordon Duncan.
You didn't hesitate there, did you, really? No. Do you eat all the chocolate of a Magnum before eating the ice cream?
No, who does that?
I do. I nibble off the chocolate.
You know what? You're the exact person I thought would do that.
It's so much. It takes
so
longer.
So you eat all the chocolate off.
Nibble off the sides first.
Right.
Round the sides.
Uh-huh.
And then you take the big bit at the front of the ice cream and you peel it off and you eat that as in a winner. And then you eat the ice cream.
That's crazy.
Scott Brown or Neil Lennon?
Scott Brown.
You're getting done in now by Neil Lennon. If a bald person works in a restaurant, should they wear a hairnet?
Only if they've got a beard.
Surely they should wear a hairnet on their chin. Aye. On their head.
No, on their head.
So a bald person is free to go without a hairnet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Old Firm match or Champions League match?
Old Firm.
Yes or no? Did you want Rangers to win the Europa League?
No.
See, told you. What did I tell you? What did I tell you about him?
But that's honest.
I know it's being honest, but surely you want what's best for Scottish football.
Why is Rangers winning the Europa League good for Scottish football? Why is it good for Stenhouse?
I want Celtic to win.
Why is it good for Airdrie? Why is it good for Dunfermline?
I want Celtic to win in Seville. I was there in Seville, jumping up and doing when Henrik Larsson scored that header.
But you,
back
claim,
across
you
goal.
Claim not to be a Rangers fan.
But I'm
so
not
it
a Rangers
a
fan.
That's why you wanted Celtic to win.
I want Rangers and Celtic to win.
I'm a Celtic fan. I don't want Rangers to win a European trophy.
So let me just very quickly, Ewan. So when England go to the World Cup this year.
Oh, no.
Right, okay, glad we're clear on that.
Okay. Are you a leader or a follower?
Oh. Leader.
I feel like we're psychoanalyzing.
I know, by the way, you should get me one of the couches. They'll just line us.
There used to be couches in here, and you don't want to know what happened on them. So
you're a leader.
Hi.
You're a born leader. Okay. Would you ever get any cosmetic work done, yes or no?
No.
And if you were, what would you get done?
Can I say that? I feel I've been shortchanged in the department.
Look at the right jeans, mate.
Aye.
A couple more for you. Do you have a favourite appendage?
What is that? Appendage?
Yes.
No appendix. Appendage, maybe the one I want surgery on.
And finally, do fish get thirsty?
Yes. They must.
How?
Because every creature needs water, does it not, to survive?
But where's a fish?
It's in the sea.
Uh-huh.
But it can't drink salt water, can it? Oh, weird. It's a good question.
What does it do? Let's buy some Evian.
It's like it's water. Trying to get puddles.
It's a great question. Jumps in the sea to find a puddle. Is that what you're saying?
I've never thought of that before. That's a belter. I'm going to keep that. Ask my sons that later.
Right. Ask your kids that later.
Right, we've got a few more wee questions for you as well. Stuff that's been lined up for me. So I don't know these stories, and there'll be many people who don't know these stories. Maybe if they're listening to Super Scoreboard, they might have heard these before. Tell us about the Omega watch you got for playing in Roy Keane's testimonial.
I got stole. No, from my safe or my house, right from my wrist. An Ibiza, aye.
Right, okay, so you got a watch for playing in Roy Keane's.
Roy Keane got everybody an Amiga watch, I think about $2,000 or something.
Like the Seamaster?
Aye.
Oh, wow.
So it was lovely.
Good watch.
So I wore it to Ibiza, and you go to Ibiza, you get to the airport early morning, you know what happens, you hit the Wetherspoons, so on and so forth. And I was on the strip later that night, and this guy came up to me, and he was a magician. He said, "Show you a few tricks." I can write him as a magician. I've seen him disappearing. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I show you a trick." And I said, "Ah, okay." And obviously I'm a bit worse for wear at that stage. And there was a clip on it, so he unclipped the watch, and it fell down to loosen.
Uh-huh.
So there was a bit of give, and he grabbed it and he legged it. And I chased him.
So he didn't even do a magic trick. So
when the watch had a bit of give in it, I was hanging down. You thought he swept it off my wrist.
Yeah, but you thought the trick was involving your watch.
Aye. Well, that's the way he set it up. sounded plausible at the time.
I've got a trick just like that, Mark. All I need is your bank account details and your sort code, and we'll get cracking. Why do you get called Celtic's Mark Wilson nowadays?
That was Callum. Callum done me, didn't he? I mean, he worked on this for weeks. The fake ads, this is referring to.
Yeah.
And
let's have a wee listen to them if you haven't heard them.
Thanks, Gordon. This awesome model comes with front and rear voice activated window wipers. Just say, window wipers on, please. Personalised perimeter alarm. For example, I'm Celtic's Mark Wilson. Step away from the car. DAB digital radio in several languages like English, Spanish and Italian. That's a spicy meatball. Dark tinted rear windows so you can get up to no good in the back seat, if you know what I mean. Plus, heated seats for a warm, toasty tush. Forget va-va-voom, it's time to va-va-volvo.
Get Town Callum has done you like a kipper. How much did he say you were getting paid for doing that voiceover?
Zero. Absolutely zero. But because it was Callum and he'd done it so sneaky, that was weeks and weeks. So he would come in, and when we are sitting in the office waiting for the show to come on, I need you, can you read this? So we'd come in and he'd just give us a piece of paper, and you could hear how natural I am there reading it. And read it without any prep.
Because that wasn't the only one that you did.
I'm Celtic's Mark Wilson, and when my cat's got worms, the only place I'll go is Endrick Vets. They look after you without a moment's pause, and the prices won't be through the woof. I've come up against a few animals in my time, and what I would have done to have Endrick Vets back then. Maybe your rabbit is unwell. Just give Endrick Vets a call and say, what's up, Doc? Don't be a sheep and use a bad practice. Make sure you stick with Endrick. Stop horsing around. Get in touch with Endrick Vets today.
That's so good.
That's brilliant.
At no point did you question.
Did you not have a clue?
I'm not even joking. Never. It was only when what the funny thing, see, when you asked about a fee. Uh-huh. So I'm playing golf with Gordon Dale and Gordon Duncan, and me and Daz is on the fairway, and I said, by the way, has Callum been coming up and asking you today, like, reads and adverts? And he went, I did a few. So he was in it, of course.
Yeah.
And I went, should we not be getting a few quid for that? And he says, I don't know, you'll need to take it up with Callum. And it was only when Gordon Duncan played it on Saturday I thought, oh no.
Done ya.
Done me. He absolutely done me. I'm still tremendous. Waiting to get him back.
And finally, tell us about the celebrity wall at Bombay Dreams in Cumbernauld.
I mean, it's an Indian restaurant, Ewan, that I used to frequent, going for my takeaway. And there was a celebrity wall. All the people that would, when I say celebrity wall, it wasn't a celebrity, it was people that maybe, I don't know, sung one song or appeared on early rounds of X Factor. And the guy asked me for a picture out the blue. I'm standing there with a Helly Hansen jacket on, like starving for my dinner. But I didn't think it'd go anywhere. And of course, somebody sees it, takes a picture, sends it to the show.
You're on the celebrity wall at Bombay Dreams.
By the way, somebody sent me in a golf head cover very kindly to the studio, and it had the Helly Hansen colours on it with Bombay Dreams on it. I still use it. It's in the golf bag.
Oh, it's
God.
Funny, my face is showing.
That's so good.
That was amazing. Well, listen, we have reached the end of the episode. So, Mark Wilson, thank you very much.
Hey, hold on a minute. What? Celtic's Mark Wilson.
Celtic's Mark Wilson.
Don't forget.
The Bombay Dream himself. Thank you very much for being on. And so we'll be back next week, next Monday. And remember, you're listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. You can subscribe in all your usual places, so make sure you get involved then. And that is just about it. Time for the goodbye music, Ewan Cameron.
It's been a good show. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, my
thanks, Mark Wilson.
Thank you, guys. Enjoyed that.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Very light-hearted.
We had a bit of fun. We found out quite a bit about you. Yeah. And you're going to go home and speak to your kids about fishing, whether or not they're thirsty.
Yeah. Great question. One of the best questions I've ever been asked.
And you're going to go home and try and figure out the colour of your mirror.
Celtic's Mark Wilson, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you, Ewan Cameron,
thank
as
you,
well.
Man.
And thank you for listening this week and tweeting the show. Get in touch throughout the week on @BigFootballScott. And we'll catch you this time next week on the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hohi ho, bonjour, je m'appelle Mark Wilson. J'adore c'est la vie French bistro. Excuse me, garçon, did you get this slice of cheesecake from heaven? Sure tastes like it. French onion soup? More like French onion soup air. Am I right? Whenever I have the famous coq au vin from C'est la vie, it's like a party in my mouth and everyone's invited. I'm Celtic's Mark Wilson and I approve this message. Au revoir.